saying the same thing.
Hey, here we are again. It's Sunday. Yeah.
Hey, Oracle, man. Same thing happened with Beige. Did her blood work a couple days ago. Fucking her kidneys shot.
Liver,
I mean, yeah. They're doing a... They gave us some medicine that's making her feel a lot better.
Yeah, she's acting normal again.
Yeah, she's 13. We don't know what happened, but her liver was, like, real small. I don't know if she was born like that or if it was some kind of disease she got from eating lizards. But they got her on some pills, and she's feeling a little bit better. We're just going to see. I'll know more next month. So that's why I really didn't say much about it.
Yeah.
But she's 13, so we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, they can live longer than that, but that's not a young cat. You know,
yeah, well, we'll
can't
see.
Can't afford a liver transplant.
No, I know. That's a shame. But it's like, you know, hopefully the medication seems to be, like, doing her really good. And
yeah.
She's acting normal, bringing the babies around the house again.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't doing that for a few days.
Yeah, and she doesn't growl at you when you try to touch her.
Yeah, she's acting pretty normal, actually.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Like I said, she's got to go back again. It was, end of the month, right?
Yeah.
End of January.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
All right, so we're going to talk about the new season of Cobra Kai.
Season 3.
Yeah, not going to spoil it.
Not going to spoil it because it only just... I feel like the camera is... You look like you're way over there. There we go. All right.
Yeah, okay.
You were like going off the edge. Like.
Yeah.
There we go.
I liked the first... I liked Cobra Kai. I thought the first two seasons were really good. Third season's good. It's soapy, but it's supposed to be.
I really kind
it's of...
The thing that I love about Cobra Kai is that this is a really hard tone to get right. Because it's kind of like... It's going to be cheesy because the original movies are cheesy. But it leans into the cheesiness. And it also does it in a way that's like really charming. And like really endearing. You know what I mean?
It's winking at you the whole time. Like,
but it's not like making fun. It's like affectionate.
Yeah.
It's like affectionately cheesy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like it got that tone like exactly right.
Yeah, all the old guys they do shit like get into car chases and then they'll play old fucking, you know, Motley Crue music and shit from the 80s and just a bunch of 80s callbacks and making jokes about fucking karate. They're like, karate? I thought that went out in the 80s, you know. It's just
very self-aware, but like I said, it's still really It actually had really, like, heart, you know, really, like, kind of heartwarming moments and shit like that. And I think my favorite thing about this, I don't know if you guys have seen, because the first two seasons, if you didn't know, were actually on YouTube Red. And we got YouTube Red specifically for that. That was, like, the only reason that we got it was because we wanted to watch the first two seasons of Cobra Kai. And then Netflix very happily picked up the first two seasons. And they were the ones that funded the third season. So now all three seasons are on Netflix and you can watch all of them. So I don't know if like some people just like, you know, watch it on YouTube and just like are trying to catch up or whatever. So like I said, I don't want to like spoil too much, even from like the first two seasons, because in case like you didn't have YouTube Red and you didn't see it and now you're trying to like watch all three seasons on Netflix, you know, I don't want to like spoil too much about it. But I think as in the previous seasons, my favorite thing about this is the Johnny Lawrence character, William Zabka.
Yeah.
It is so fucking funny that they basically made him like, it's not like super believable, but they kind of made it almost like he was in a coma for like 30 years. He is like so stuck in the 80s. He doesn't know like how laptop works.
Yeah.
He doesn't like know how to get on the internet. He doesn't know how to do Facebook. It's like every time he's, you know, telling his kids like to do something, it's like, hey, do one of those hash brown things, you know, like hash brown, whatever the fuck, instead of hashtag. And it's like so fucking funny.
He didn't know that what was on his cell phone you could also access through your internet.
Right.
Facebook. He didn't realize that Facebook was on your laptop.
Yeah, he's like, yeah,
he thought it was just
I lost my phone or whatever. And Miguel's kind of like, you know, you can get that on your laptop too, right?
Like, he's like, yeah,
he didn't really seem to realize. But it's like, I love that it's like I said, it's super not believable, like that somebody would be that out of it. But I don't know, but it still like works, I guess, because it's just, like, such a funny, like, running gag, like, through the whole show that he doesn't know I mean, that hash brown thing, that just like makes me laugh every single fucking time he says
he was kind of a he was kind of a fossil. Remember, he was living in that old fucking bombed out apartment.
And he
worked kind of a menial job, so that, it might be.
I'm sure it can happen, like, if you're not really interested in, like,
he knew how to use a phone, but he didn't really know how to use the internet, which, that's kind of weird. My dad doesn't know how to use the internet, but he's in his 70s.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What a shit. And he's still, like, driving around, like, in an old fucking
these guys,
80s muscle car.
These guys are only supposed to be a couple years older than me. I think they're all supposed to be, like, maybe 5 years older than me, huh?
Maybe not even. They might be like the same age.
Supposed to be the same. Yeah.
Or maybe just a little bit older.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure.
I can't really imagine it.
But yeah, so this season, like I said, now if you saw the end of season two, like the big brawl and the big thing that happened to Miguel, this is basically season three has like a whole bunch of plot, you know, plot threads that kind of stemmed from that. Happening. So you have all the shit happening with Miguel, like, you know, is he gonna be okay?
What happened back in Vietnam?
We'll get into that too. Like, Robbie taking off and kind of going on the lam. You have that going on. There's some shit with because the big brawl, because it was all like karate centered, so now like the town has kind of turned against karate, so that's kind of like a moral panic, like, about karate now. So Daniel's car dealership is suffering because nobody wants to go there anymore, so he's having problems with that. I will spoil the fact that he goes to Okinawa in this season, which I actually kind of like that. And there are some faces from the original movies.
Yeah.
Holy crap, dude. I feel like they got everybody from the original
movies.
Other than the ones that are dead, sadly. But even what, like, little tiny parts and stuff like that, it's like they got fucking everybody back for this shit. And I was just kind of like, that's pretty awesome.
And if you remember part two, when he goes to Okinawa, that was part two, I think, wasn't it? Yeah.
That the second one or the third one?
I think it was part two.
I can't remember. Yeah. We just watched all of them, like, not too long ago.
I think it's part two. When he goes to Okinawa, it's fucking, they did this shit back in the 70s, back in the 80s. And like I've said before on other shows, man, our conception of the fucking East was very fucking different back then.
Yeah, we were talking about that in our Gremlins review. Right. Like,
when he goes to go Okinawa, it's still the 1700s in Okinawa. It's
like this tiny village.
Tiny village, like fucking from another era with people in fucking kimonos and shit, you know what I mean? They weren't wearing that in the fucking 80s.
I mean, it was the 80s. Like, it looked like a big city. It was just kind of like, you
know. It's funny. So, and they kind of play on that a little bit.
Yeah, they lampshade that a little bit. So I think that's like pretty funny that they kind of.
Yeah, it's just like Mugwai's coming from China because it's China. Of course they got magical fucking monsters in China.
Although I will tell you,
Big Trouble in Little China is a good illustration of what people.
Yeah,
thought
actually,
fucking,
that was yeah. They, I was thinking about
what,
that
what
too.
What it was really like,
but it wasn't just the East, because I remember in the 90s, like, my stepdad's mother, when I was in the UK, like living in the UK or going back and forth to the UK, she asked me if they had VCRs over there in the 90s.
Yeah, weird.
And early 2000s, and
but
I'm like,
it wasn't just us. I mean.
What? I'm like, yeah, they got electricity and indoor toilets too.
There are people like in China that and in Japan that think that America's nothing but just people doing square dancing dressed up as fucking cowboys, and it used to be that way, you know. And so it went both ways.
That's what we thought would be really funny. It's just like that would be.
They did. The Japanese had a whole bunch of stereotypes about Americans.
I mean, I guess everybody has stereotypes about, you know, countries you've never been to, because you only see, like, a really limited, you know, interpretation of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like people still think that, I mean, particularly in the 80s, too, they thought the entire continent of Africa was just people in, like, tribes and stuff.
Yeah,
I was like, no, they have, like, actual cities, like, big cities and everything. And it's just like
the whole
really
continent is those fucking Maasai.
Right, it's like, that's a pretty small, like, you know what I mean? So I kind of feel, so I like that they kind of address that, like, in this series, like, when he goes back there.
Man, last night, I'll tell you what, man, fucking, I don't know if you guys had fun on the show. We did. We got loaded last night.
We did, yeah.
I'm not even sure how the show ended.
I'm never sure how the show ended. It always kind of like wakes up in the middle. I'm like, sometimes, you guys are going to laugh, but sometimes I'll actually like write down on the page, like, yes, you stopped the stream. Yes, you put it up on Instagram. Yes, you, just so like the next morning, like I'm not freaking out. Like, oh my God, did I even turn the stream off? Was it just like streaming the bottom of my laptop like all night? I don't really know. But yeah, it's, I had a good time on the show last night. But you know, because it was it had a true crime topic-y type of thing, like, because it's stabbing, but at least that little girl didn't die, so I was just kind of like, it wasn't that much of a bummer. I will say that next Saturday show is going to be a real big bummer, so be prepared for that.
Yeah, Darren, you're talking about all the damn stereotypes that, you know, Texas is one just one big cattle ranch.
Right, and everybody's just walking around.
They're still
like
driving
spurs
cattle and spurs. And,
it is really fucking funny.
Yeah.
I always wonder, too, like, I don't know. I guess nobody really has, like, all that many stereotypes about Florida other than everyone's a crazy meth head. But that's actually not a stereotype. That's pretty true. But to a large extent.
Well, there's a lot of stereotypes about the Deep South that's nothing but shacks. And fucking Confederate flags and guys sitting outside their porch spitting.
And whittling.
And whittling, Yeah.
Little corn cob pipe threat.
Yeah.
Patooey.
Yeah. When actually the only place that still exists would be up in Appalachia.
Yeah. And maybe not even that nowadays. I'm just like,
I don't know. That inbred family was like that.
That's true. Just, how long ago was that?
Recent.
Oh, okay.
Just go on YouTube. Just go for the inbred family up in Appalachia. They'll visit them. They got, one of them's barking like a dog. They buried the other one. One of them died and they just buried him in the front yard and shit. It's fucking bizarre.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was like something out of Hills Have Eyes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they were like inbred by several generations. Little bitty heads.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking weird.
Little bitty heads.
Little bitty heads, yeah. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've seen it.
They're drooling, sitting there, standing there drooling.
Ugh.
They're wards of the state. State shows up, takes care of them, you know.
They're like,
okay. They live on the porch.
Yeah.
Basically, they don't live in the house, evidently.
Well, maybe they don't have air conditioning.
Yeah, there's no air conditioning. It's probably hot. There's no windows.
So it's like, might as well be inside as outside.
Just outside, yeah.
It's all outside.
It's fucking bizarre, man.
But yeah, so, I wanted to say, too, when I was going back talking about Cobra Kai, there's also the whole thing with John Kreese, and they go actually a lot into his backstory, like how he ended up being such a dick, you know what I mean? So it's like, so that's kind of cool. They go back to, like, Vietnam and all this other kind of stuff and show how that happens. And like I said, a lot of people from the movies make appearances, and I don't know, it's just really, I will say one of my favorite things, like I said, the Johnny Lawrence character is easily my favorite thing. It's like every time he's on, it's just like fucking hilarious, just because he's like such a doofus, but in an endearing way, you know what I mean? Like, he's so fucking clueless and it's hysterical. But the scene where he takes Miguel to that concert, oh my God, that was so fucking funny. I really, really liked that scene. Like, was it where he goes and he's like, he sneaks his kid in with, like, the beers.
Yeah, I remember.
I remember
that.
Should we say who the concert is?
Yeah, go ahead. It's D. Snyder. D. Snyder from Twisted Sister. Which, man, as old as that dude is, man, he's in good shape.
Yeah, how old
he's
is gotta that
He's got to be at least 60.
How old is
gotta
that
be
guy?
At least 60. He's got to have 10 years on me easily.
Yeah.
You know.
He looks almost exactly the same.
Looks exactly the same.
I mean, it probably helps that he was kind of like, I don't want to say ugly.
He's a weird looking dude.
But he's a weird looking dude.
Yeah.
So he kind of looked like a weirdo like in the 80s, so he hasn't really changed all that much. Other than like not having all that makeup on and shit.
Yeah.
So what?
He was fucking D. Snyder was something else, man. I like listening to interviews with D. Snyder. I don't want to say he's like the Steven Seagal of heavy metal, but kind of, in a way.
Victor says he's 65 years old.
He's 65, yeah. He looks great.
He does look good for 65. Yeah, Very good.
Yeah. he's kind of like a... He kind of inflates his own importance in terms of in the metal scene.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, he was fucking real important on a local level. And, yeah, he had some hits.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a gag, kind of a band. You know what I mean? You're not talking about Led Zeppelin.
Right, you know? Yeah, it's like, let's calm down a little bit.
I'm not talking about, you know, fucking Judas Priest or anything, you know. It was a fucking real good local band that you would see in a club and get fucked up.
Yeah, they're essentially like a party band.
Like a party band, right. Yeah. I would say I'd definitely put them above shit like White Lion, you know.
Well, and, I would hope so.
Yeah, I'd even put them, I'd prefer Twisted Sister to Dokken. I thought Dokken was fucking kind of weak sauce.
You know what's funny? You know? Every time I hear Dokken, I remember this comedian that I saw back in the early 90s who was like, Dokken, you suckin'. Yeah, and that just, I don't know why I think of that every single time. I don't even remember what comedian that was.
It lacked character. Dokken to me, it lacked character. I mean, the worst bottom of the barrel is Bon Jovi, but at least that had fucking character. It was mainstream teen girl fucking metal.
All I think of when I think of Bon Jovi is Fringe.
Yeah.
Teen girl metal. Denim jackets.
They knew the market.
Yeah.
John Bon Jovi knew the market that he was going for, and that's he fucking made a shit ton of money on it.
Yeah.
But I still take fucking Twisted Sister over Bon Jovi.
I would as well.
But Dee Snider, okay, kind of saw Twisted Sister. He kind of saw Twisted Sister as fucking, as Van Halen, I think. That's a hardcore Van Halen. Or maybe, not really Van Halen. I think, there's no way to describe it. I think he kind of thought he was the American Motorhead. I think. It's not what he was, though.
No.
It was kind of a gimmick band, in a way.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it was. Yeah. I mean, the thing about, nobody can be fucking Motorhead, come on.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love
nowadays
Motorhead?
That shit would be considered, nowadays Twisted Sister would be considered transphobic, I think. They would say that shit was transphobic. You can't dress up as fucking women and do that. That's what they would say.
I haven't heard anybody saying that. But it was, well, I mean, I
no,
feel like...
No, it's because they're not around anymore. If you showed that, Jenny doesn't like me fucking poking fun at anything. I think today they would say that shit was transphobic. You're making fun of transsexuals.
Well, nobody's like picking on the New York Dolls, and they did that shit too, back in the 70s.
That was a long time ago. If it was around now, they probably would. They'd get sensitive about that.
Yeah.
I think they would, yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah. But, so, like I said, I don't want to go too much into all the shit that happens at Cobra Kai, because I think everybody should watch it, because it is delightful. Especially if you like the original movies. And I'm not a huge... I mean, I love, like, a lot of 80s movies. And I like the Karate Kid movies, but they weren't, like, my favorite. You know what I'm saying? But the fact that they took a property like that and made a series about it that is simultaneously fun and also really, like, heartfelt, but in, you know, kind of a cheesy, over-the-top kind of way, but, like I said, affectionate toward it as well... I think it was kind of like a genius move, and I actually sort of can't believe that they did that, and I can't believe, like, how fucking awesome the show is, and, like, how much fun it is to watch. So it's like, you know, fucking kudos to, like, the writing, you know, team on this, and, like, all the actors and shit like that, especially William Zabka. He's, like, fucking, he's so fucking great in this fucking show. And I love the way they took the bullies from the first ones, from the movies, and basically, like, expanded their arc, you know what I mean? And, like, gives them, like, redemption and things like that. And it's, like, really, really cool, like, way of doing it. And it's, like, also really funny.
Mango's saying that Twisted Sister was, like, one of the best shows he ever saw alive. Best show I ever saw alive was fucking Billy Idol. Whiplash Smile Tour.
And The Cult opened.
Cult opened up. That was a fucking great show.
Yeah.
He said that he thought it was better than Motorhead. I disagree. Fucking Motorhead's catalog is fucking awesome. Motorhead had bad years every now and then. And Lemmy could get fucked up and maybe not deliver on stage, but man, fucking in the mid-80s, mid to late 80s, 70s, fucking Motorhead was great. The fucking Overkill album. Man, Another Perfect Day, that was a good album. Fucking Iron Fist, all that shit, they were good. They were good.
Yeah,
Bomber. That was a good album.
Yeah. I like Motorhead a lot.
They had some good live albums, too, you know. I never saw them live. But the driving force behind fucking Motorhead was Lemmy. Just him as a character, you know.
Yeah, I mean, just you can't... I mean, he cannot be replaced.
Yeah.
In any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. Just, and his, he was a fucking, here's something else, man. I mean, even if Motorhead didn't always deliver all, didn't always deliver, you know, in terms of album wise, there were some misses there. Lemmy was a fucking master lyricist. A lot of people don't realize that. His lyrics were fucking really good. He would just tell the truth. If you want some fucking street wisdom, just listen to fucking Lemmy's lyrics.
Some people are talking about their best and first concerts. Louis says best show I ever saw live was Nine Inch Nails and David Bowie.
That'd be pretty good.
That probably would be pretty awesome. I saw Nine Inch Nails like so many times. Like not even on purpose. It's just like they opened for a bunch of different. Like I like Nine Inch Nails, but I saw them a bunch. I think a couple times, and I saw them at like the first Lollapalooza.
I never got to see David Bowie live.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Victor said my first concert was Megadeth with the Misfits. Damn.
Yeah. Okay.
My first concert was Echo and the Bunnymen and the Leather Nun.
First concert I think I saw was like First was Biloxi, down in Biloxi. It was Judas Priest, the Turbo Tour.
Oh, okay.
And what year was that? It must have been 80 something.
I don't know.
I think I was just barely old enough to get in there. I think it was about 16.
Yeah, I was, like I said, I saw Echo and the Bunnymen here in Orlando. It was at Bob Carr Auditorium, which isn't there anymore. And, or it's called something else. I don't even know if it's still there anymore. But it was 87, so I was 15. Yeah, I had, and I couldn't even drive yet, so I had, my dad had to drop me off. It was, really fucking funny. Okay, so before we wrap up, somebody asked, it might have been Sandra, but she asked me a couple nights ago, or a couple of matinees ago, that we should say what were our favorite movies from the past year that we reviewed. Shit. So I had to go through, all the matinee shows and pick out the ones that made the biggest impact or that I remembered the most. Some of these are from 2019, but they're from 2019 because they either didn't come to VOD until 2020 or I didn't see them until 2020. So don't be too picky about it.
What's your list?
But I wrote down, okay, so these are not in any particular order. These are just the first ones that I thought of. And I don't even know how many it is. It's more than 10 probably. The Invisible Man with Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
I really liked that movie. Underwater.
Yeah.
Which, it's weird because I've been watching other people's lists to kind of jog my memory, and that movie is turning up on a lot of people's favorite.
Bombed at the box office.
But a lot of people liked it.
I saw the shit saw the shit in the theater twice. I loved it. I thought it was very close to Alien.
Yeah, it was great.
Right.
And I think it was surprising because I don't think anybody was really expecting anything out of it, but then it turned out to be really good.
Yeah, and people were shit-talking it at the time, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. That fucking movie's awesome. I want to get that on Blu-ray. I thought it was an excellent movie.
I did too, yeah. And I said, you're not the only one because a lot of other movie reviewers I saw put it on their top list as well.
Probably we'll never get a sequel.
Probably not.
Main character died in it anyway.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So it's not like she's going to come back like Ripley.
That's true. Did everybody die? I can't even remember.
The ending was fucking whoa, it's that? And, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see, what else? Mortuary Collection. That was that anthology with Clancy Brown in it. The mortuary,
Yeah, yeah, it was
with
good.
All the stories. I liked that a lot. I think that was technically 2019, but I didn't see it until 2020. Yeah. Color Out of Space.
Yeah, good.
Good one.
Good, yeah.
Vivarium, even though that was technically
very good.
2019 also, but we didn't see it until 2020.
Yeah.
Possessor, which we just saw. Brandon Cronenberg, that was really good. The Platform from Netflix, the one about the platform with all the food on it that was going up and down at Spanish.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a really good one. I liked that a lot.
Real good, yeah.
The Pool, that Thai movie about the guy trapped in the pool.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I thought it it was so good. It was I was biting my nails the whole fucking time. Yeah. It just got worse and worse with the fucking alligator and all this other kind of shit. And then some other ones. Alone, that thriller that we just saw not too long ago. I really liked that. Mope.
Yeah.
Which technically that was 2019 also, but we didn't see it until this year.
Yeah.
Also The Call, that Asian one that we saw just the other day. I really liked that a lot.
Which one was that?
And that was the one with the girl that was talking to the other girl in the past.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Not really my thing.
And Impetigore, which I think was also Thai, maybe? I can't
what about
remember
Art of Self-Defense? Wasn't that this year?
I think that was 2018. Because okay. I wrote right. down, I remember, you remember that Korean movie that was like set like way back in the 1500s or whatever, and it was zombies called Monstrum?
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember really loving that one, and I was like, oh shit, cool. But then when I looked it up, I was like, oh, that was 2018. Was that like that long ago that that movie came out?
That's
holy crap.
When we saw it, I think.
Maybe. Maybe we saw it later. But I was like, well, I'll throw that one on there too, even though it came out 2 years ago.
Yeah. I think you're missing some.
Maybe, but like I said, I looked through the list on Matinee, and those were the ones that I remembered the best, that
Mandy
I liked
wasn't
the most.
Last year.
No, that was 2018, yeah, too, I think.
Yeah, Color Out of Space, they also talk shit about it. They said it sucked. I didn't think it sucked. Just thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was cool, too.
Yeah.
It was easily one of my favorite movies of the year. I have to watch it again. I want to watch it again, but like I really, really liked it. But yeah, so those are my ones that I picked. Can you think of any that...
That's pretty close.
Yeah. Because like I said, I think... I don't know, man. It's hard. I don't know if I could pick like a...
You pretty much called them,
I think. Yeah, I think I got all the good ones, right?
I forgot Underwater, though.
Yeah. Well, that we saw that like a year.
Early.
That was a year ago.
That was way early.
We saw that back in January.
It was like in January.
Because we saw that in the theater like a couple of times.
I want to see that again. I want to get that bitch on Blu-ray.
Get that bitch on Blu-ray.
I'm going to get that bitch on Blu-ray.
Oracle said, hey, Jenny, have you had a chance to see The Vast of Night yet? No, but I think we are going to watch it tonight and review it tomorrow because I just noticed it was on Amazon Prime. And many, many, many people have recommended it to me. And it looks pretty cool. And like I said, it kept coming up on people's like best of the year lists. So I'm like, okay, I'm finally gonna like bite the bullet and watch it tonight, I think. So we'll probably review that one tomorrow. If it's on Amazon Prime, I'm pretty sure it is. So we can watch that one later.
You know it never came out?
What?
The James Bond never came out this year.
Yeah, they keep pushing it back.
Yeah, that bitch is never gonna come out.
Somebody,
that's gonna put them under because that was designed to be released in the era of theaters. It's never going to make its money back. They might as well bite the bullet. I don't even want to see the shit. I don't even want to see it. I don't give a shit.
I sent him a trailer the other day for the Coming to America sequel, which looks like it's going to be cool.
What about fucking a Rudy Ray Moore flick? Dolomite's My Name. Wasn't that this year?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy.
Well, mate, was that 2019 or 2020? Now I can't remember.
2020. It's hard to say.
You know what else? Came out was Peninsula, the Train to Busan.
Yeah,
sequel.
It was okay. I wasn't.
Yeah, I don't think it was one of my favorites of the year, sadly, because I was like really looking forward to it. Yeah. It wasn't nearly as good as Train to Busan.
Person, no.
Let's see. Victor says, "Have y'all seen The Dark and the Wicked yet?" No, I have not, but I'm gonna write that down right now. Let's see. Strawdog says, I heard Hunter Hunter is really good, too. Yeah, Chris Stuckman put that on his list, too. I think it was a honorable mention, like, on his list.
There's a little... That title reminds me of a movie called Hunter Prey. It's from a long time back. What was that, 2009, 2000, something like... But it's a little bitty independent film. It's super well done.
It was really good, like, surprisingly.
It's an unofficial sequel to an old movie from the 80s called Enemy Mine.
Yeah.
About the guy gets crashed on a damn alien planet with the Drac.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Drac are mentioned in this. But if you guys have never seen Hunter Prey, see that shit. Really good. It's only got three or four people in the whole movie. And it's...
Yeah, it's like low budget done.
Real
right.
low budget, but it's done super well by guys that were in the special effects industry, and they just said, "Fuck it, we're going to make this movie."
We are making a movie.
They went out to the desert and made this damn movie, and really good.
And Fourth Drawer Down said, "I enjoyed Kingdom, although it's a series, not a movie." Yeah, that was actually really good. We saw that as well. It's kind of like a similar thing to Monstrum, which was the movie, but you know what I mean. It's not exactly the same, but it was kind of like a similar setup. Victor says, Jenny, write down Take Shelter also. It was really good. Okay, so I'm writing that down.
You know what else?
I had this huge fucking list of movies.
Another good one that we saw this year, but it's not from 2020, was fucking Turbo Kid. Turbo Kid was fucking awesome.
That's right. I really like that one. Is that from this year?
I think that was actually from like 2019 or 2018, maybe. But it took forever for it to get released on video.
That's the thing. It's really...
Turbo Kid.
Because a couple of these, like I said, like Mope and Vivarium and stuff like that, they were technically from 2019, but we didn't see them until this year because it took that long for them to get to VOD.
Turbo Kid is an 80s style, post-apocalyptic superhero movie. Imagine if fucking there was a superhero movie set in the world of like Cherry 2000 and fucking Mad Max.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. But the tone is a little bit more like Cherry 2000, and it knows it is.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of crazy 80s stuff. It's almost kind of like something out of Fallout, the video game Fallout. So it's called Turbo Kid.
Yeah.
Fucking, yeah, a kid in a post-apocalyptic wasteland becomes a fucking superhero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tila just showed up, and her list for 2020 is The Mortuary Collection, Black Box, which I haven't seen, The Invisible Man, Host, Possessor, His House, which that's another one I need to watch. That's on my list. That's on Netflix. Gretel and Hansel, Relic, that was also very good. I forgot to mention that one. Blood Quantum, and The Vast of Night. So that's, Vast of Night, is there's another vote for that one. So like I said, we'll probably watch that tonight and review it tomorrow.
Blood Machines, too. That was a little mini-series. Was that 2020?
See, I Blood thought Machines? About putting that on there, too, because I was kind of like, I can't remember what year that came out either. I mean, it's recent, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Like, also, Shutter that vampire movie, what was it called? Blood Vessel.
Oh, yeah.
Blood Vessel was good, too.
That was, I think that was 2019 also, but, like, Shudder just added it.
Yeah.
I really, really liked that. That was, like, way better than I was expecting.
Yeah.
That was good. The Nazi ship with all the vampires on it.
Yeah.
That was, like, super cool. Yeah, I forgot about that one, too. Holy crap, I did forget a whole bunch of them. God damn it.
That ought to be about
that
it.
That ought to be enough. All right,
I got to get out the barbecue, and I'm making tandoori chicken.
Yeah, I know. I'm starving. I got
that. Yeah.
All I've eaten all day is 2 hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah.
And a cup of coffee, okay. So my stomach is growling.
All right, I'm going to step out. I got to start cooking.
All right, so we'll be back tomorrow. Like I said, probably watch The Vast of Night tonight, so we'll review that on the matinee tomorrow. So as always, thank you for dropping by, and we'll see you guys again tomorrow. Bye.